I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Our good works cannot wash away our sins. Our good works cannot be a substitute. We can't make God turn a blind eye on our sins by looking at our good works. Do you see? Our sins are a real problem. In fact, the Bible does say in Isaiah 59 verse 1, it says, the hand of the Lord is not short that he cannot, you know, reach us. Neither is his ear, you know, heavy. I was going to say blocked. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. That's not the problem. It's not that God can't reach people. It's not that God can't touch people. But there's a problem. The problem is verse 2. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Do you see that he will not hear? Even you find that when people offend you, it puts a distance between you and them. Is that true or not? Yeah. There are people who used to be your friends that you're no longer close to, maybe because of something that happened. Do you see? Yes. And it's just a natural thing that happens, that people who were otherwise close are pulled apart by iniquities, offenses, trespasses, and sins. Amen. And so you need something that can take it away, something that has the power to blot out transgressions, to take away the sin. And nothing does that except what God gave to do that. Hallelujah. And that is the blood of his only begotten Son. Nobody can be truly saved without an encounter with the blood of Jesus. And that is the reason why sometimes it's even the reason why we have to lead people to pray a sinner's prayer. Because typically a sinner does not fully understand what it means. And if he was even to pray to God, he is not likely to include the reality that he has sins that must be washed away by the blood. And that's why we lead people to pray a sinner's prayer, to help them, you know, go to the point. And the point of salvation is that a sinner is being transformed by an encounter with the blood of Jesus. And that encounter is by faith. Amen. Right. You don't need so much faith to believe you're a sinner, but you need faith to believe that Christ can wash away your sins. Isn't it? As for believing that you're a sinner, it's often obvious, isn't it? Yes, it's our own hypocrisy and sometimes our pride that makes us not or refuse to recognize that we are sinners. But anybody who is truly honest will know that you are more than an occasional transgressor that enjoy it, still know it's wrong. Do you see? Yeah, and if you want to know whether you know it's wrong, the proof of it is that you try to do it undercover. That's the sign to you that you know it's wrong. The fact that you don't do it in the open is the sign to you that you know it is wrong. Do you get it? Yes, the second sign that you know it's wrong is the fact that you lie about it. After you've done it, you'll say you have not done it. That's the second way you know that you know it's wrong. Do you understand? Yeah. And so it is important for us to recognize the role of the blood of Jesus Christ in salvation and in making someone a Christian. A Christian is simply a follower of Jesus Christ, right? And an encounter with the blood of Jesus is necessary for converting someone from their state of sin into a follower of Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. You know the song that says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Sing it again. What can wash? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? Can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you have another verse? Do you have another verse? Right. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Oh, precious is the makes no, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can sin, nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious, come on. Oh, precious is the flow makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I think there's one more. Oh, precious is the flow makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood This is all my righteousness.
This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Is there another one more verses? There's no more. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing. You know, the people of old, they really wrote the songs, yeah. Isn't it?
One more.
Yeah. Oh? All right. Now let's sing it. Now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, 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 that makes me white as snow.
There's
another one. Come on, sing it again. Come on.
Glory, glory, this I sing. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, all my praise for this I bring. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow.
Oh, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Give a clap offering to the Lord for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I like the line in the previous verse that said, this is how I'm going to go home. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. We're not talking about going to Valencia. No, no, not Santa Clarita home. Or Pomona. Or Glendale. Pastor Charles, what, your house, where is it? Sorry, what's the name? Monterey Park. No.
No.
It's not by the blood of Jesus Christ that we go to Monterey Park.
It's by car.
It's by, Pastor Charles will give you a ride after church. That's all you need. But there is a place you can't go without the blood. So much so, last week we were reading about some elders. They were shocked to see some people there. So they were asking, how did these guys get here? And someone explained to them that these ones are they whose robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. These ones, they had an encounter with the blood. As long as you have an encounter with the blood, nothing can stop you. Nothing else can disqualify you from entering heaven if you've been washed in the blood. There is no sin that is so strong in its effect on you that it will strip you of your entry credentials into heaven. The blood. The blood. The blood. We all need an encounter with the blood. That is why one of the most blessed experiences a Christian can have is communion. Because when you have communion, You are revising the experience. You're bringing the encounter back. And you're doing it all over again. Because that is the symbol of salvation. That's how we get saved. It's not by being good. Do you understand? No, it's not by blessing yourself every day. No. Some people try not to hurt anybody. I don't hurt anybody. I don't cheat anybody. But that's not how we go to heaven. That's not how we go to heaven. Otherwise, the elder would have said, when somebody asks, how did these people get here? The elder would have said, these guys, they didn't cheat anybody. You see, these guys are honest people. No, that's not how they got there. He said, these ones, their robes are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God is sending us to get as many people washed in this blood as possible. Because the price is already paid. There is a lot of blood available to wash the whole world. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the whole world. His blood has the capacity to wash an entire world. Hallelujah. And we must not let it wash just a handful of people who meet in church at Pasadena. Do you see what I'm saying? It must not only wash people who belong to our church, Kodesh Family Church. It should not only wash people who accept a genuine encounter with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is a super detergent that takes away sin. Hallelujah. What a blessing. I could talk about the blood all day. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to move message number 28, and that says, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 21. We're going all the way to 23. It says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye work that work iniquity. Wow. I think this is a serious passage. This is a serious passage coming from the Master himself. He said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Right? So Jesus is saying that entering heaven is not just a matter of calling him Lord, but rather doing the implications of calling him Lord. Doing the will of his Father. Amen. Doing the will of God, obeying God, is important when it comes to going to heaven. He said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Hallelujah. Okay. So number one, many people are religious but do not know God. That's the first point, right? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, truly knows God. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, truly knows God. Okay? So write it like that. You can write, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, truly knows God. That's number one. And then many religious or many people are religious, but they do not know God. Okay? Many people are religious, but they do not know God. And Jesus was speaking about religious people who do not know God. Hallelujah. Because verse 22 says again, look at verse 22. The things in verse 22 are done by religious people. Isn't it? It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. So you see, they are calling Lord, Lord. Right? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Wow. Jesus is saying that the things that are often associated with religious people by themselves do not qualify any of us for heaven. Hallelujah. And that is serious. Because it's religious people who cast out devils. Or do they cast out devils at your workplace? Do you have any department that casts out devils? They fire people from the job, but they don't cast out devils. Yeah. You see, John Jack says, what if you cast out demons at your workplace, you'll be fired. So that's as far as they can go. They fire people, but not demons. They can't fire demons out of people. Right. What about prophecy? Do you have any prophecy times in your workplace? You don't, Moses, there's no prophecy happening at Walgreens, right? There's no prophet, and you know the scores, and you are able to keep, you know, the you follow very clear and everything, but you don't actually know the players. Do you see what I'm saying? And that is what it is like to be religious. And you find a lot of people in our world today who are religious. They don't joke with church at all. They don't joke with their tithes. They don't joke with, you know, singing. They can sing all the songs. I tell you, you just have to raise the song and they know all the verses. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, but Jesus says that some people with such credentials will come to him, and he will say to them, I never knew you. That's even different from I don't know you. He's saying that while it was happening, I never knew you. Really? Are you serious, Lord? Never knew me? Check the books. Check. Have you ever met someone whom you thought should recognize you who did it? And the person is also trying to quickly connect. You can see that they are just trying not to embarrass you, But you can still read on their face that the connection is not being made. And you try to help them by trying to establish some connection. But you just know that every connection you make just dies. Because you don't remember the person, or you don't know the person. You don't know the person. You don't know the person. Hallelujah. And Jesus is saying that some people will come to him and claim that they have prophesied and claim that they have spoken inspired words. They have cast out devils in his name. The reason why a person, how can somebody cast out devils in his name and not know him? How can someone cast out devils in his name and not know him? Well, you can, because you can do things in someone's name and not know the person. Do you see? Yeah. You can operate in someone's name and not know the person. You can do things for someone. You know, Prophet tells the story of some pastors he met sometime who introduced themselves as pastors of our church. And they were pastoring a branch somewhere and preaching every Sunday and pastoring the church. One of them is called Lord, right? Yeah. It's interesting that his name is Lord. You see, but this pastor, Lord, he was pastoring one of the churches. Yes, and pastoring the church in Bishop's name, but Bishop didn't know him. Yes. Many of you work for people you don't know. Yes. You work for someone you don't know. You are supposed to be one of his employees. He pays you all the time, but he doesn't know you. Can someone cast out devils in the... It's a powerful name. The Bible says, at the mention of his name, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. At the mention of his name, every knee bows. The reason why people can have accidents with guns and so on, sometimes a little child picks up a gun and shoots and does, it's not because they know everything about guns, but it's because guns work. Do you see what I'm saying? They work. And if you find one which is working and you use it the way it's supposed to be used, it will do what it's supposed to do. But that doesn't mean that you have been for lessons and you have learned how to use it. And I'm saying that the name of Jesus, it works. Anybody who mentions the name of Jesus with faith, they believing that it will work. It works for them. It works for them. That is why the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because it works. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It works. It works. The name of Jesus works. And whatever you call on it for, it will work. If you have faith. Yes. So sometimes you see people, different people. Sometimes I've wondered why. It's like you see a lot of rap stars and so on. They're all wearing big, big crosses. And you know. And I just wonder why the fascination with the cross. Why not something else? But people over time become superstitious. And perhaps they stray into religion in some way. And believe in some of these things. And I tell you, it works. It's something like giving, for example. It's something that works. Giving is a principle which, if you practice, you will find out that giving works. Yes, giving always leads to a blessing. Yeah. Amen. So the name of Jesus works. And so it is possible to cast out devils in his name and not know him. So we are talking about knowing the Lord, having a real relationship with the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes people feel like we're just trying to get them to come to church. But that's not what it is. When you come to church, you are doing one of the wonderful works you can do in his name. Do you understand? But that itself does not mean you know him. Do you see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean you know him. Yes, in church we learn a lot about him. Do you see? And the more you know about him, the greater or the better a position you are in to know him. Do you see what I'm saying? But that by itself doesn't mean you know him. Everybody needs to have a personal encounter with the Lord, whether you come to church or not. Do you see? Whether you're a church person or not, you need an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. You need to know him. You need to have a personal relationship with him. That's why we have quiet times. Do you see? That quiet times offer an opportunity to know him. They offer an opportunity to have a personal relationship with him. Because if you sit somewhere all by yourself, praying and reading the Bible in the name of trying to know him, I think you are doing something. You are taking some steps towards God, and God will take steps towards you. Do you understand? Because the Bible says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. So God rewards every effort at knowing him. Anytime people make an effort at knowing God, anytime people draw closer to God, God meets them. God always honors that. And God will meet you, and God will reveal himself to you. But you need to make that time to be with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, to be with him. That's the way to know people. We know people by spending time with those people. And the more you spend time with the person, the more you talk to the person, the more the person talks back to you, the more the relationship deepens and grows. Do you see? And as the relationship develops, you get to know the person better and better and better. Amen. But when you don't talk to people, you don't get to know them. And sometimes you can be in the company of people and not talk to them, and you find that you don't know much about them. And where God is concerned, there are many of us who just keep to ourselves. We keep to ourselves by not praying. We keep to ourselves by not reading the Bible. We keep to ourselves by not spending time by ourselves with him. And that makes him distant from us because we don't do the things by which we can know him. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? So today, the Lord is telling us that it's not enough to know church songs. Church songs are all, songs and so on are just vehicles by which we can approach God. But God wants you to know him. Jesus said, you need to have a personal relationship with me. He said, before you do anything for me, you need to know me. You get it? Before you do anything on my behalf, you need to know me. Amen. You need to know me if you're going to do anything on my behalf. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what we are sharing? Right? It's very important. We must know the Lord. We must know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, do you know the program? There's a program on television called Undercover Boss. Right? You know that program? Yeah. Where the boss goes undercover and then he experiences the people who work for him. Many of them don't recognize him. Because they don't really know him. And you find some of them talking about the boss to the boss. Yes. And then you have those who actually insults the boss to the boss. Because they don't know the boss. Hallelujah. Yes, they don't know the boss. That's why you see sometimes you see some people fighting on behalf of God. You know, and you can see that they don't know God. They don't know who they are representing. And that's always a shame. Hallelujah. Number two. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, truly knows God. Right? The reality is that many religious works are not acceptable to God because they are full of hypocrisy and pretense. Many religious works are not acceptable to God because they are full of hypocrisy and pretense. Right? They are full of hypocrisy and pretense. That is one of the reasons why God is not going to use our religious works. Because many of the good works that we do and religious works that we practice, we do them for different motives. The motives are commonly corrupted. Yeah. The reason why we're doing the good thing is often some corrupt reason. And because of that, it can't be the standard. It's not a good reflection of your heart. Do you understand? It doesn't represent you properly. Sometimes if you talk about even giving, do you see? Sometimes people give, even in church, you find that when people know that their offering will be seen, they give more. Yes. You just wonder, why is it that when you're giving a dollar, you have to crush it, squeeze it, crush it again, and just crush it and put in the money itself is small. Now you want to make the note as small as possible. So it becomes small twice. A small, small note. But that's not how people behave when they are given the largest note. The day you have $100 to give, you actually wait when the basket comes around. That's when you open the wallet. And then the usher. Because things are good. So God can see that, no, I can't go by this. I can't go by this. It's full of pretense and it's full of hypocrisy. And that's why God cannot use those works. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, he said, don't sound a trumpet before thee, isn't it? Otherwise, you have no reward of your heavenly Father. In other words, you have to choose whose reward you want, whose acknowledgement you want. Do you see? Anytime you say, I did this for this person, but he never said thank you, or he never acknowledged it. Do you see what I'm saying? Then you are shifting your reward from God to that person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You are shifting your reward from God to that person. Because look at it. The verse says here, Jesus says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward. You have no reward. To do things before men so that men will see them. When that is the motive, do you understand? There are some things you do, I mean, you can't help but it has to be seen. Do you understand? Yes, it has to be seen. It just has to be seen. Once anybody's eyes are open, they'll see it. Do you understand? So it's not that. It's the motive. It's the fact that the seeing is the motivation for the action. Do you understand? And the way you test it is, just ask yourself, if there was no seeing or no visibility, will the action still stand? Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, and many times you see when there is no visibility, the action is either absent or is of a much lower and poorer quality. Yeah. When people are giving, let's say we decide that we're collecting some money or to make, who shall we collect money for? Jean-Jacques, okay. Okay. So we decide that it's Jean-Jacques' birthday. So we want to collect money for Jean-Jacques. Yes. When your money is small, you're happy to put it in a group. Is it true? Yeah. But when your contribution is large, you say, I'll see him. I'll see him. Yeah. Jean-Jacques, I'll see you. All of that is our hypocrisy at work. And this is the thing Jesus is talking about. Do you see? This is the thing Jesus is talking about. How that the fact that someone will see what you're doing or not see it affects what you're doing. It affects what you're doing. And if it will affect it, then it's already infested with hypocrisy. You're already spoiling what you're doing. Do you get it? So it's not that you should, because I also know some people to tell me. Is that what you do? But you are also helping. Why don't you do that also in private? Excuse me, Apostle, can I see you outside, please? Oh, the words are, what can wash away my sin? And then you come into the church and you sit down quietly. It's just hypocrisy. Do you see? When it applies only to money and it applies to giving. And the reason why people want to cover their giving often is so that in the day that they don't give or give poorly, that also will remain undercover. But the Bible says when people are giving, it must be as God loves a cheerful giver. And the Bible says it is accepted according to what a person has and not what he doesn't have. Do you understand? Yes. How do you think Jesus was able to identify a widow that he said gave more than everybody else? Do you see? The Bible said he was there watching as people were giving their offerings. And he saw it. He said, you watched as big people were casting casting. Casting their offerings. Eesh. That's some serious giving. Where the thing has to be cast. Do you see? But he was able to identify the woman as having given more than anybody else. Because giving is accepted according to what a person has. You give what you have. And the Bible says God looks at the heart out of which that thing is coming. Do you understand? Yes. Of course, the condition of the heart ends up affecting the amount. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. The condition of the heart or the state of the heart in relation to that giving ends up affecting what is given. Yes. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you see? So a certain disciple gave even though it was his only begotten son. Do you get it? Yes. So when someone is in love, when someone loves the Lord, when someone is so much into something and wants to really help, often you find it showing in the giving. You find it showing in the giving. But that is not by itself proof that the person is doing the right thing. Are you understanding it? Yeah. To wait for the time when they will announce it, don't wait to give it at a time when it will be noticed or to help when it will be noticed. Don't do that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Just give. Can I have an amen? Amen. All right. Number three is that God does not look on the outward appearance. God does not look on the outward appearance. Outward things are not what God looks at. God looks at the heart. God looks on the inward parts. God looks on the heart. So don't waste time to try to deceive God about anything by making the outer parts look good. God has X-ray kind of eyes. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. If we as human beings are able to invent what they have invented at the TSA checkpoints, they are harmless, but the TSA knows better than that. And they know that it's not on the outward appearance. And God also does not see like man sees. It's man who always looks at the outward appearance. That's why we dress well when we're going for interviews. Because we know that man looks on the outward appearance. He will judge you even before he speaks to you. He will form a conclusion about you even before he speaks to you. So there are some of us who feel that our outward appearance does not matter. Well, man is not God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, man is not God. You have to give man what he works by. Do you see? Yes. Some people say, well, they better take me as I am. Really? That's the reason why you need to dress properly. That's the reason why you need to appear decent. That's the reason why you need to put yourself together properly when you are presenting yourself before certain people. Because man can't help. They don't know your golden heart. You may have a heart of gold. Yes, true, but we can't see it. Man doesn't see that. Only God sees that far into a person. So man will go by the outward appearance. But it says God looks at the heart. Hallelujah. So we must be interested in those things. We must be interested in being genuine from the inside. Do you get it? Not just saying the right things or appearing to look right, but we must be interested in saying the right things and being the right person as well. Can I have an amen? And that is what will be a blessing for you. Can I have an amen? Right, number four. No one can be saved by religious works and good deeds. No one can be saved by religious works and good deeds. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, this means you are not saved by good works. You are not saved by going to church, paying tithes, or contributing to the building fund. We have a building fund in our church. We're trying to build a church, isn't it? Yes. But that is not what brings salvation to someone. No. You don't get saved by contributing to the building fund. You are saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. For by grace are ye saved. Everybody read this with me. 1, 2, 3, go. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Yeah? Let's finish it with verse 9. Let's add verse 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Put the two together and let's read them. It says, let's start from verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. It says, for by grace. Where's verse 8? Verse 8. Bring it back, please. Is it coming? We'll give you some candy after church. You just bring it back. Is it? Okay, here it is. Great. For by grace are ye saved. Everybody go. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of your... Lest any man should boast. Amen. Okay, this is better, isn't it? Wait, let's try it one last time. 1, 2, 3, go. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Wow. If salvation was of works, man. Lest any man should boast. I mean, people would be proud. I mean, even the way it is, even by grace, as we are saved, we are grace. It's not easy for us. Even the way it's set up now, where we are saved only by grace, it's not easy for us. How much more if our salvation depended on things we did? Thank God for the neutralizer, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ makes everybody, brings everybody to the same level and brings all of us together to stand at the same place. All of us blood washed. That's how we are saved. Do you understand? Yes. Otherwise, it would depend, on works. Like what? How well you sing. Hey! How often you pray, you read your Bible every day. If you had your quiet time every day. How many of these buildings you built? Hey! That wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good. Huh? Feeding the poor. Yeah. Works. No. God is wise. Very clever move. Then those who are rich can afford salvation. Yes. Because you, whatever it takes, you know, you have to buy a lamb or something like that, you know. But you notice that in the Old Testament, even where they had to make sacrifices, there were those who made sacrifices, you know, with a lamb and so on. And then for the poor, there was provision for turtle doves and other things like that, you know, that could be sacrificed so that everybody will have a chance. Oh, God is so good, always trying to give everybody a chance at salvation. By grace are ye saved through, and that not of yourselves. I'm glad he put that there. And that not of yourselves. He says it is the gift of God. So if God is giving out a free gift of salvation, why are you not collecting yours? Because everybody is into free gifts, isn't it? That's why the companies use them to sell their stuff always. Because people like free things. Say, get a new credit card and you get a free gift of a tote bag or something like that. And people collect their 25th credit card. Because of the free tote bag. Then you go to the next table and they are giving free pens. Just give us your email address. Oh, then people just write some email address that doesn't even exist. And they just write it down there and they collect the pen. Because people like free stuff. So since we like free stuff like that, why are we passing on this one? It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift from God. No one needs to go without it. Since it's free, why don't we let more people know that it's free? It's free. It's not as they're thinking. Many people are not saved because they think it will cost them something. It means I have to give up my girlfriend. I have to give up this. I have to give up that. I have to give up that. You know, giving up your girlfriend is something that happens, you know. It's like somebody who wants to run. The reason why you drop your bag is because it's not because you don't like the bag, but it will make you miss the bus. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Depending on the reason why you have to run, if you keep this bag, you're probably going to miss it. That's the reason why people drop their bag. So when people drop things, you drop this and you drop that, I stop drinking and I stop. It's because those things are a hindrance. You find they become a hindrance to what you're trying to do. That's why. But it's not a requirement for salvation. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. It's not. They didn't ask anybody to, you know, stop drinking and come and be saved. No, come as you are. Come with your bottle. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus is inviting people to come. Come with your bottle. Yes. Come with your bottle. Yes. Because God will take that bottle that is ruining your life out of your hands once you get to Him. And He'll put something better into your hands. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Or He may take that bottle and put something better inside it. There's a song that says, fill my cup, Lord, isn't it? Yes. There are things that God would like to pour into your life. Just come to Him as you are. So we need to tell people it's free. Salvation is free. There's no reason why you shouldn't let me lead you in this prayer, honestly. There's no reason why you shouldn't let me lead you in a prayer to be saved, considering that it's free. It's free. It's free. To be saved is free. And when you're not saved, the consequences are serious. Implications of not being saved is serious. You are not saved means you go to hell. When the way to avoid hell is free, why would you not say this prayer with me? Everybody should have a chance at being saved. And if you like a free bag, you like a free pen, you like free small fries, yeah. Yes, free samples. You get it? Yes. One of the things I enjoy at Costco is the free tasting. Yeah? Did you try that before? Yeah. Yes. Around 12 o'clock. I see. My wife says, you need to go there around 12-ish. So if you go at 10, it's too early. Yeah, and if you go at 6, it's dinner time. It won't be there. So go around 12 to 1 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah. And that's when they be tasting the stuff. And you see people pacing up and down the aisles. And never leaving the store. Hey, people. Because it's free. They taste the salad followed by some sausage, followed by sriracha, followed by honey, and followed by chips, and then there'll be a drink. And you're willing to travel and go to Costco to indulge in this for a full 2 hours. Why won't you accept the free gift of salvation? It says, not of works. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast about their salvation. Hallelujah. Let's let people know that Jesus has already paid the price. Hallelujah. Wow. Okay. Next one, number 5, quickly. The important thing is whether you know Jesus and Jesus knows you. The important thing is whether you know Jesus and Jesus knows you. Hallelujah. The important thing is not, are you a member of the church? The important thing is not, do you come often enough? Yes. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you would want to go to his house often. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. People who are in relationships with people want to see them all the time. Is that true or not? They want to talk to them all the time. Is that true or not? Yeah. You want to be with them. The reason why people struggle to come to church is actually because they don't quite have a relationship. So get to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody must have a real personal relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Your relationship with your pastor is not a substitute for your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with your husband or your wife is not a substitute for your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with anyone is not a substitute for a relationship with Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. Do you see, most relationships come about by somebody connecting you, isn't it? Yes. But once the person makes the connection, they usually step aside, isn't it? Yes. When I was a kid, they used to have a term called betweener. Are you familiar with that? Right? It's still a term. Yeah. Where I grew up, they had a term. It was called betweener. That's the one who goes to this one and says, you know, there's a lady. You see that one? Yeah. Yeah. And goes over there and says, you know, you see that guy over there, you know. Yeah. And then he comes back and he tells her, she says she likes you. And he goes back and says, look, I mean, he's dying for you. Do you see the thing? Yeah. And then, would you like to meet her? Okay, I'll arrange it. How about you come to my house on Wednesday afternoon for lunch? She'll come, and she comes. Wednesday afternoon, she's coming to do her homework at my place. So come Wednesday afternoon. So Wednesday afternoon, they meet at my house. And I say, oh, brother, this is so-and-so, and sister, this is so-and-so. And then I say, give me 5 minutes. I'm just getting the fries ready. You know, that's when I go into the kitchen, you know, And that's when I remember I have no fries. Listen, I need to get out of this house and go down to Walmart to buy some potatoes. Yeah. No, we're not buying fries. We go buy the raw potatoes. We are now coming to peel them and we're going to cook, cut them up and fry. So the whole, by the time you see fries, it's about 3 hours away. Do you see the thing? Yes. We step aside. Once we step aside, then they have a chance. There must be a real relationship. Do you understand? And it comes from them talking and relating. We are never meant to be a permanent feature between two people that you introduce. And you see some people, they introduce two people and they won't move. You get it? The introduction has been made and they won't move. And they always want to be involved. And they issue threats. So now you go and see him without telling me. Of course not. Why should I tell you? Why should I tell you? Your job is done. Now you and I are supposed to be between us for Jesus Christ. We are supposed to tell Jesus about the person. Say, Lord, do you see that girl there? I want you to save her. Lord, I want you to touch her heart. Lord, I want you to soften her heart. Lord, I want you to reveal yourself to her. Lord, this person can be saved. I will never give you rest, Lord, until you save her. Then after you've done that with the Lord, you go to the person and tell the person that I want you to know that Jesus loves you. That Jesus is crazy about you. That you can have salvation and that it's a free gift from God. That it's not of works, so it doesn't even matter what you can do. Doesn't even matter that you don't have clothes to come to church because it's not of works. You can't look good enough to be saved. There's nothing like, man, you look so good, be saved. There's nothing like that. It's not of works. You can't. There's nothing like that. And once we have connected people to Christ, then we need to take the next step of encouraging them to relate with Christ by themselves. Do you understand? Yes. And we become accessories to the relationship. Yes, we fellowship, we get together. It's always nice when friends get together, including the one through whom you met. Do you understand? But you are supposed to develop that relationship yourself. Amen. You're supposed to develop that relationship yourself. And that is very, very important. Can I have an amen? Yes. Right? We're working on some website where you can get to meet people if you belong to our church. So look out for it. Amen? Yeah. Okay. All right. Number six. We are ending. We are ending. Right? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Jesus as your Lord? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Or is He outside your life? Or is He outside your life? See, there are many people who are in church or who do attend church services, but who need to answer this question, whether you know Jesus or not. And today is a good day to ask yourself that question and give yourself an answer. Do you know Jesus? Do you see? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Right? Now, If you read the book of Revelation chapter 3, you will find out that he's talking to churches. He's talking to believers, right? And the closest one to verse 20 is verse 14. Look at verse 14. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent." That's a good one, isn't it? "As many as I love, I" what? "Rebuke and chasten." Do you see? It's amazing how many of us turn our backs to love just because it showed up in the form of a rebuke or a correction. Do you see? But the Lord is showing us that it is when he loves you that he corrects you. God corrects only people he cares about. That's why sometimes when you are out at the mall and moving around, you see people, some are not dressed properly, so you don't say anything because you don't really care about them. But if that happened to anybody who came along with you, whom you care about, you would often make a comment. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and God is saying that, you know, he loves people and that makes him rebuke them and that makes him correct them. So have a good attitude towards correction. Say amen. But it continues in verse 20 to say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with him, with me." Amen. So I wanted you to see that it's to the same church, the same people that he's talking to in verse 14 are the same ones. He's saying, "I stand at the door and knock." He's saying that to those same people. He's standing outside. So I'm saying that there are many Christians that have Christ standing outside. Jesus is not in your life. Jesus is someone you go to, but he's not someone you live with. Jesus wants to live with you. Jesus wants to be in your business. Jesus wants to have a say in your day-to-day life. Jesus wants to influence who you relate with, your decisions, your choices. Jesus wants you to involve him all the time in everything you do. It's got to mean something when you say, "I give my life to Jesus." When you say, "I give my life to Jesus," it means Jesus has a lot to do with everything you do. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus has a lot to do with everything you do. Anything you give your life to must dominate your life. If you said to someone, or you said about someone, that he is given to alcohol, his life is given to alcohol, you would expect that the person is drinking all the time. Most of the time, the person is under the influence of alcohol. And Jesus, when we give our lives to him, we must be under his influence all the time. Hallelujah. The things he likes are the things we do. and the things he doesn't like are the things we do not do. That is how to relate and to have a relationship. And he says, anybody who opens the door and lets me in, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. So Christ is not content to be standing outside your life. Christ wants to come in and relate with you. Christ wants to affect your life. He wants to impact your life. Hallelujah. That Jesus in you must show in the things you do. It must show in your speech. It must show in your choices. It must show in what you watch. If you imagine that Jesus is with you, you would watch some of the channels you watch. If you just imagine that Jesus is in you, we are watching this together, Jesus. And then you say, Jesus, if you don't like this, you're going to have to close your eyes. No. No. Jesus must affect what we watch also. Can I have an amen? Amen. And then the last one. Through the blood of Jesus, you will be cleansed from your sins and you can get to know God. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus, you will be cleansed from your sins and you will get to know God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 and 7 actually. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie. Everybody say, we lie. Say it again, we lie. Actually, turn to somebody and say, you lie. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not the truth. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Do you understand? If we walk in the light, do you see? As he is in the light, then we have interaction with one another, us with him and he with us. Do you understand? And then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. Amen. So the blood of Jesus Christ is a cleanser. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ is a sanitizer. Amen. It cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's activated by our fellowship with him. Amen. Every time you come to the Lord, expect him to cleanse you. Amen. Do you notice that sometimes even going to church and hearing a good message has a cleansing effect on you? Sometimes listening to a message, a good message a message on a podcast or wherever you find it, you know, you just feel a cleansing. It's called the washing of water by the word. Do you understand? Jesus is the word of God. And he cleanses us. His blood cleanses us from all sin. This world is such a place. Do you understand? It's such a place. And sin is like dust. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere. But his blood cleanses us. And we need to apply his blood as often as we remember, as often as we interact with him. Every time you come to fellowship with him, you need to ask him to cleanse you. Amen? And to do that, to benefit from that, he says you need to walk in the light. That means you need to be sincere. Do you understand? You can't come to God with a hidden life. Remember, he sees not as man sees. To man, you can hide some things. Do you understand? You can hide some things away from a human being, but we can't hide anything from God. When you come to God, He sees right through you. God can see you exactly as you are. That's what God sees. God can even see things that are yet to be, or even you are yet to be conscious of them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So when we come to Him, He says, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light means visibility, means openness. If we come to the Lord in openness, you know, He says we can interact with Him. And if we have made mistakes, you get it? Because our openness will reveal it. He says His blood is there to cleanse us. Do you understand? This is the solution to hypocrisy and pretense. God is saying you don't have to pretend in a church. You don't have to pretend. Just come as you are and say it like it is and talk to Him about it. And He's willing to cleanse you. He's willing to strip you of the evil and negative effects which even you don't enjoy. You see, even you don't enjoy. You don't enjoy walking around with all that guilt. You don't enjoy walking around with that weight of sin on yourself. You don't like it. And God says, I know it. I know it. Just come and walk in the light. When you walk in the light, as He also is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. Us with Him and Him with us. And His blood will cleanse us from all sin. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's apply the blood of Jesus Christ to our fellowship with Him. Amen. And let it cleanse us from every sin and every mistake that we have made. Things we have said that we shouldn't have said. Things we should have said that we didn't say. Things we have done that we shouldn't have done. And things we shouldn't have done, but which we have done. Do you see what I'm saying? We need to come to Him with those things as they are. And He has promised that His blood will cleanse us. Can I have an amen? Stand to your feet this afternoon and let's ask Jesus. Let's ask Jesus to cleanse us by His blood from every sin and anything that defiles us as we stand before Him this afternoon. Amen. Everybody just lift up your right hand and just pray and ask Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I need You to cleanse me, please. I come to You in the light, in the light, in the light, in the light. Just as I am, just as I am. I know I can't pretend before You because there's nothing about me that You don't see anyway. There's nothing about me that is not exposed. There's nothing about me that is not already visible to You, Lord. So I ask that You will wash me. I know I can hide it from my parents. I can hide it from my friends. I can hide it from my husband. I can hide it from my wife. I can hide it from anyone, but I know I can't get away with it where You are concerned. I know I can't hide it from You because You know me through and through. And so, Lord, I just ask that You will cleanse me, cleanse me, cleanse me, cleanse me, Lord. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, come on. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, know my thoughts. I pray. See if there be any wicked way. See if there be
some wicked way in me.
Some wicked way in me.
Cleanse me from every sin.
Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Sing it again. See if there be.
See if there be some wicked way in me. Oh, cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
Lift up your hand again and tell the Lord, cleanse me from every sin.
Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
For the last time, oh, cleanse me,
cleanse,
cleanse me, Jesus.
From
every sin
and set me free.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that if we walk in the light as you are in the light, if we choose to be exposed as you are open with us, if we walk in honesty and sincerity as you are honest and sincere, then the light will expose whatever is wrong with us, whatever we're hiding in our lives, the dark spots in our lives that no one knows about, the dark places of our lives, Lord, that we have successfully hidden from everyone. If we walk in the light, if we come to you with those sins, you have promised to deal with them. So Lord, today we surrender. We come to you and we ask for cleansing. We come for another encounter with the blood, Lord. And we say, wash us and cleanse us and establish a real relationship between us and you. We want to know you. We want to walk with you. We want to have fellowship with one another. We don't want you to tell us one day, I never knew you, in spite of whatever good works we may have done. Today we understand, Lord, that it's not about casting out devils. It's not about doing great works in your name. It's not about prophesying. But it is about knowing you, having fellowship with one another, having fellowship with one another, Lord. We pray that you will bless us with this encounter. Let no one leave here the same today, Lord. I pray for a visitation, 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 Lord. Visit every life this afternoon and let your light shine through every spot and every place of darkness in our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Oh, cleanse, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Hallelujah. Get your communion from the back, everybody, and Let's have communion right now. If you're online, grab your communion also and come and join us as we come before the Lord's table. And as we come to the Lord's table and come and have another special encounter with the blood of Jesus Christ. Try me, oh Savior. Oh no, my thoughts I pray. See. Some wicked way in me. Oh, cleanse me from every sin and set me. Is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are thanking you for the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. The two super elements that cleanse us, that establish a relationship between we who were otherwise in darkness, but who are now children of light because of the body and the blood. Today we ask for a special encounter. We ask you to empower these elements, Lord, to affect our lives, to impart into our lives, Lord, to pour into our lives the power and the grace of God. I pray that the bread and the wine will transform in the name of Jesus. Let it change hearts, Lord. Let it change minds. And let it affect our inner man, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Because in eating the bread and drinking the wine, it is you. We are eating your flesh and drinking your blood. That is Jesus in us, the hope of glory. Thank you that nothing will stay the same again after today's encounter. We thank you for your blessing. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Now take your bread with me and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Say it again. Say the body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
And you may eat the bread. Take your wine. This is a master cleanser. And say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ.
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 Say it again. Say, I'm being cleansed.
I'm being cleansed.
I'm being changed.
I'm being changed.
By the blood.
By the blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Now lift up your hand for a blessing. Father, thank you for the cancellation of ordinances that are against us by virtue of our sins, Lord. Thank you for the cancellation of curses that have been activated against us because of our sins and our mistakes. Thank you for the cancellation and the neutralizing, Lord, of evil things that were legitimately following us. Thank you for the blood that steps in and that intervenes and that comes between us and the evil one. Thank you that the power of Satan is broken over our lives, broken over our marriages, broken over our relationships, broken over our children, broken over our future in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the power in the blood gives us new hope. It puts new meaning in our lives. We receive it. Lord, we thank you that sickness is defeated because of the blood. The power of sickness over our mortal bodies is neutralized by the blood in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of Satan to afflict us with sickness is taken away in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood. Satan, you will not. We speak to diseases that are forming in our bodies as we speak now. Diseases that we are not even aware of. Things and conditions that are yet to be diagnosed. In the name of Jesus, we declare that they will never be diagnosed in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the blood will neutralize it. The blood will kill it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blessedness. Today we pray, Lord, especially for the blessedness of closeness to you. Let everybody leave this place having begun a new relationship with you. May you reveal yourself to every one of us, Lord. And may we be closer to you than we ever have been, beloved. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Lord, this coming week, may we walk close to you. Amen. Every day of this week. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you for closeness. Speak to our hearts every day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Clap for Jesus properly. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Thank you, Lord. Amen.